Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's great to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be back. Butch, how you doing? And Zito, how are you guys doing, man? It's so great to be back with you guys.
Great. Great pictures you sent back.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Is that your next life? You're going to be in that chair?
I don't know if I'll get to that point, but it was really a blessing being able to visit the United Nations, specifically to visit as a filmmaker potentially working on a project. So it was a very humbling and enlightening experience. I was really grateful for it.
Nice. Nice. See, Harry, how you doing? How was your week?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. My week has been well.
Good, good. But we're going to have our guest this week will be two people, actually. Dan Birmingham, the hottest thing since sliced bread right now in fight management. And we have Frankie Freight Train Fortuna is going to come. Philippone is going to come on and talk about his fight next week up in Philadelphia area. So, and we'll have the lovely and vivacious Dr. Chris also join in.
Frankie is going to be up here, up in this area next week?
Yeah, he's going to be up at up around Langhorne there.
Okay.
There's, yeah, I'll have him contact you offline. He's supposed to get you guys in to see his fight.
Yeah, because at the very least, would love to just go ahead and meet him and hang out and spend a little time with him. He's a great guy.
He is. He's a terrific person. He's got a great family, and it was fun when they were down here to get a couple minutes of their time. Well, what a shocker! Yoris Gamboa gets. It's Chris in the corner, huh?
Whoa. Wow. Wow.
Shocker.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of wasn't a surprise. You know, Yoris Gamboa was a marvelously talented fighter, you know, marvelous amateur pedigree. But one thing about being a marvelously talented fighter is sometimes fighters get by on talent as opposed to fundamentals. And then as we get a little older, 35 years old, like Yoris Gamboa is, and you still don't have that prodigious talent and you don't have the fundamentals to rely on, then a less talented guy like Castaneos with better fundamentals can go ahead and get the measure of you. And, you know, Yoris Gamboa, in spite of his brilliant talent that he once had been very inactive due to promotional issues. And, you know, unfortunately for him, the guy we saw in the ring yesterday was a shell of the Cyclone of Guantanamo, as he was called, that he used to be. So it's kind of what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Older Yoris Gamboa, his inactivity has lost him his career, essentially. And not meaning his career as far as dollars and it fights, just as far as his sharpness. And his skill. He should be more he should have been more experienced than he is. He could have honed his craft through fighting a bit more. Last night we saw the result of everything, of inactivity, of the inactivity not having him sharp. And I were talking last night, and the guy he was fighting was not a guy who really should have been in the ring with Gamboa in his sharpness. So, he lost it all. I was a guy that you just saw, he lost it all. His reactions, his reflexes, even his punches, it just seemed not to come off like that. He had no more explosion. So, yeah, he quit in the corner, and I think he realized that was it for him. I think he just was like, you know, why even go any further with this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? And once a guy like that loses his explosion, then all of a sudden, you know, the trained boxing eye can kind of see how flawed he was. Because, you know, what happens is, again, with these prodigious talents, like Roy Jones, you know, they get away. Even like Muhammad Ali, they get away with so much that, you know, you're not supposed to get away with in boxing, but they could do so because they have this tremendous speed or reflexes or coordination or what have you. But what happens is as an athlete dulls over time, specifically if you're not constantly using your tools or your weaponry, Then what starts to happen is we start to see a Gamboa who had lightning quick hands, all of a sudden missing a guy who's pretty slow. All of a sudden you start to notice that when he attacks, he doesn't always bring his feet with him because his feet can't keep up with his mind the way his body used to be able to. So you really see a guy who is physically trying to do some of the things that he used to be able to do, but you literally could see his body not being able to keep up with the expectations of what his talent once was. It actually was a little sad to see him like that in a sense.
I absolutely agree. Gamboa, I mean, the guy was hitting him, and Gamboa wasn't reacting to the punches. And, when you saw Gamboa, I mean, that wasn't the case as much. Now, he wasn't the most – I mean, he had good defense over reactions. He wasn't the best defensive fighter. But last night, you just saw everything that talent couldn't hide, everything. Hello?
Yeah, Zito, do you remember when the big fight for Top Rank that was marinating was the Juan Manuel Lopez, Yuri Urquiz Gamboa fight? Remember that fight never came to fruition because Lopez lost to Salido. One of the things they were trying to do with this performance last night with Yuri Urquiz Gamboa is they were trying to really build him into a viable contender for a Mikey Garcia or for Vasily Lomachenko. He's right around that weight. The fight last night was at 135. Unfortunately, though, he's just not that guy anymore.
Well, I thought that he wasn't that guy before the fight. So I saw in the previous fight that he was losing it. From the previous fight to now, it's just worlds of what he lost. He just, as I said, he seemed to have lost everything that he once was. And he had nothing else to rely on. I mean, not to say that he didn't have any skill or doesn't, but, I mean, you could tell that he was relied more on talent than on skill.
Oh yeah, by no means.
Chris on with us, too.
Hey,
Chris.
Dr. Chris.
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, Dr. Chris?
It's freezing up here. Damn, lousy weather.
Yeah, it is chilly up here.
You guys are up here, too. Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're a little surprised by this today.
What's that?
I said, yeah, we're a little surprised by this weather today. Didn't think it was going to be this chill.
I thought, I was working
it all the way down to, I think.
At least I was giving orders. I wasn't doing much work. But you guys talking about that Gamboa fight?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
That was awful.
As I was saying,
that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah. It looked to me as if he just lost everything.
What?
Everything that he was.
He's easy to hit. He can't take a punch anymore. He don't have any offensive skills. His right hand is sloppy. It's an overhand sloppy right. Well, I don't understand what the hell's happened to him. He quit in the corner there. I was waiting for him to come out. He was going to get knocked out anyway.
Oh, yeah.
you remember Gamboa used to be, his feet used to be quick. He used to be in and out in the round. Right now, as I say, he lost everything, and it just seemed
everything.
That talent was hiding everything that he was. I mean, not to say he wasn't a skillful guy, but as I say, I think talent was hiding a lot.
Well, was he at 126 or 135 last night?
He was at 135 last night, so he was fighting a bigger guy, but, he was also fighting a slower guy.
He can't do it. He can't move up to lightweight. He's no lightweight. He's a small featherweight, a short arm featherweight. I mean, he did hold the featherweight title at one time, didn't he?
Was it super? I'm not sure.
I think he did hold the featherweight title, but there's no way that he could ever fight as a lightweight. He'd get murdered.
Yeah,
he knows that.
Yeah, he held a title at 126. Then he had moved up to 130. I believe he fought Crawford at 135. And what happened with Gamboa is Gamboa was pretty much fighting around 126. However, once he started having that career inactivity, All of a sudden, 126 became a little tougher to make. So now he's making one. He's fighting at 130, 135. And, you know, those guys are bigger, but not only are they bigger, but, again, his talent has eroded over time. He's 35 years old now. You know, the smaller guys usually don't have the longevity some of the bigger guys have. And, again, he's a guy who had this prodigious talent, but didn't necessarily have a fundamentals like a Bernard Hopkins. So now that he has no longer has this out-of-this-world speed and reflexes, again, you're starting to see that he's a pretty flawed fighter fighting bigger guys now.
Yeah. Teddy Atlas tore him apart earlier. I was watching another channel. He was talking about Gamboa. Tore him apart. I mean, he didn't have one good thing to say about him. And then he was on. Then he was on the Chavez fight. He was jumping all over Hopkins with a Chavez fight. I got a kick out of him.
Yeah, that was pretty funny seeing those two guys kind of bicker back and forth like they were.
They were arguing. They argue. They get into it. Them two guys. I think Teddy Atlas is a shrewder. He can diagnose a fighter better than Bernard Hopkins can. I mean, Bernard Hopkins, he has no idea what the hell he's. He actually thought he could beat that big light heavyweight. I mean, what the hell? He got
which
some
one
beat into him that night. You know? But anyway, what the hell? Gamboa's done. He got to go get a job.
Yeah.
He got to do something.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, man.
Yeah.
Not for a job.
Yeah.
And he can't fool anybody. No promoter will take a chance with him anymore.
Yeah. And some guys, you say you don't, they don't belong fighting on that, on a certain level. For me personally, I just think Gamboa shouldn't be fighting anymore.
No, I mean,
not to say what a guy should and shouldn't do. I just think, you know, just for him, I think he's lost it all to the point to where he doesn't need to fight.
Yeah,
he shouldn't fight. It's horrible. It's horrible at 35. And he's probably not any much better at 130.
You know what?
He can't make featherweight anymore.
He doesn't have a punch anymore.
Something happened to him.
He didn't have a gradual decline. He kind of fell off a cliff, it seems, you know, with him. He really fell off the cliff. And, you know, last night, you know, Castaneda helped push him off of it.
Well,
so.
Somebody
do lose
it quickly.
Another fight we had just come up with Joseph Parker, who, if you listen to Russell Peltz last week, Russell Parker and Joshua and all these guys are just more of the PR guys than they are fighters because of the fights that they're getting. Parker had a very close decision last night. It wasn't that close, but he had a fight that didn't seem to be like he was in his prime. What do you think, Ty?
Well, I think first that the thing that needs to be said is you got to recognize what Parker is. Parker's 24, 25 years old, so he's still very young. The problem with Parker is he's won one of the vacant belts, the IBF. Thus, he has a title champion status placed on him when, in reality, he's a developing prospect. Yesterday, earlier today, we're about, 10, 12 hours behind Australia. But so when he fought, he was supposed to fight Yuri Fury. He pulled out with a back injury. He ended up fighting the guy he was sparring for the Fury fight. And unfortunately for him, it wasn't, necessarily a banner performance. You know, in this day of social media, if you don't have a great performance, you get obliterated, specifically coming off the Joshua Klitschko fight last week. The fact of the matter is he's not ready for a Joshua or a Klitschko. He's not. He's just not at that level of development yet. With that being said, he's fought. Outside of Klitschko, he's fought just as good competition as Joshua and Wilder at this point because he's fought Carlos Takam and Andy Ruiz. So they're all sputtering along fighting at the same level of competition. But the fact of the matter is Joseph Parker is 24, 25 years old. He's not as developed. He doesn't have his ring identity quite to the point where it should be. You know, one thing about Deontay Wilder, even though he's still kind of a raw talent, his ring identity, who he is in the ring, is clearly defined. Joseph Parker's still trying to find out who he is in the ring. When he does, he will be a better fighter. But at this point, you got to keep him away from your main heavyweight guys right now.
Yeah, yeah, I have to agree. Joseph Parker, he's still young. You want him to develop. And the fight that took place this morning, he's fighting a guy that's, for one thing, familiar with him. And for another thing, he's just finding out that, you know, he's fighting this guy. It's not like he's trained and knew pre-hand, you know, during the camp that he's fighting this guy. So, I mean, you can't look good against everybody all the time, regardless.
Especially a guy you've been sparring with the last 6 or 7 weeks.
That's familiar with.
Knows you very well. And not only that, what kind of killer instinct are you necessarily going to have sometimes when, you know, it's not like he was facing a former sparring partner. He was facing a guy that he spent his last two camps with. So, I mean, there's all sorts of variables that could go into that performance. But with that said, Joseph Parker is who he is at this present time, and his management will be wise to still keep him away from those guys for right now.
So he's a young guy, and you need to give him time
today's,
to
today's fight news, but now Yui Fury wants to get in the thing, and he's saying, well, he could knock Parker. What's your thoughts on that?
I think Yui Fury, if he wanted to knock Parker out, he needed to be in shape and take the fight. It's easy to take something after you pull out. That's crazy. I'm going to pull out the fight and talk trash. No, you don't get to do that, Yui Fury. Whether Yui Fury can beat him or not, I don't know. And either does Yuri Fury, because we didn't see the fight, because Yuri Fury pulled out. So, you know, he's had some health issues throughout his career, but what you don't get to do is you don't get to retroactively talk trash on a fight you pulled out of. It doesn't work that way.
Do you think there'll be a rematch with Klitschko and Joshua?
No.
You know
no.
what?
Well, it's in the contract.
Yeah, it's in the contract.
It was such a great fight.
You know, it's in the contract. It would be the biggest money fight still for both of, you know, both of those guys. They make more money with each other than they do going to fight Wilder at this point. To be honest with you, even though Klitschko came very close to winning and looked like he could have had Joshua out in the sixth round, Joshua's going to be better from this fight. Klitschko is not going to be able to reach the level he was at last week again. That's just my opinion. I think Joshua wins easier next time. But the rematch could happen just because of the dollars and cents attached to it.
I think Klitschko, he's on the verge of hanging it up. I think he's lost. He's gracious in his defeat. The young lion bested him, and he's out. I honestly think he's out.
I got the impression he really didn't want to fight anymore. After that fight, from what he said,
I did too.
I had the feeling that he said, it's enough. I got knocked out. That's enough. I it was one punch away. That one right hand that he hit Joshua with shook Joshua to his toes. Mm. I mean, that thing exploded on the side of his head. When you think about it, I counted the number of right hands that Klitschko threw. I was counting them every round. He never reached 10 straight. He never, in any round, threw 10 right hands. It was, and when he did, some of them were sloppy. But he's better off when he leads with his right hand, because now it's a good straight punch. But when he tries blocking jabs with his right hand is extended, and it's never in position to punch with. So he doesn't get off more than one or two good right hands. If somebody could pick that up and stop him from reaching out and moving jabs away with his right hand, I'd like to see it cocked right by the side of his head and let it go dead straight every time, instead of that fooling around with that damn paw. And I just don't like his Emmanuel Stewart had him on the way to the right, but then he, you know, once Emmanuel left, he don't stand a chance of ever improving. I didn't think.
And you're right, Dr. Yeah. Chris. Klitschko throws something, throws punches that I like to call dangerous safe punches, where he'll throw a hard punch, but what he's going to do is going to fall in to hold. So if he hits, good. He's just thrown his body behind it. But if he misses, his body's coming forward for the grab to safen him up. He was doing that. He does that with his right often, and he was doing that in this especially with Joshua with his left hook. He was winging with his left hook, and he would throw it to come all the way in for the holes. The problem with Joshua, especially with the right, and why he wasn't letting it go, was because it's hard to throw that punch on a guy just as tall as you and to hold him. Because he's just as tall, and you want to get to his shoulders at least to hold. So, and Joshua's shoulders are up there enough to where it's kind of dangerous to throw that right in the hole because you can get countered. So Klitschko was really, really kind of leery of when to let the right go. Even offensively, he fights scared.
You know what? One thing that Dr. Chris said that is very true, he said Klitschko threw probably less than 10 right hands per round, right? So here's my thing. If he threw less than 10 right hands per round, could you imagine how many left hooks, uppercuts, and body punches he didn't throw per round, too? Because you know the right hand is his bread and butter after the jab. So to me, one of the reasons why he wasn't able to get Joshua out is because he doesn't have a variety or assortment of punches to be able to step in there and open a guy up. Joshua just had to look out for the right hand, Tito said, Klitschko would throw and fall in so he wouldn't get countered, or a left hook, Klitschko would throw and fall in so he wouldn't get countered. So Joshua literally just had to duck or parry those punches to survive the onslaught.
Hey, guy, I'm glad you said that, Ty, and it was a great analogy. That was a great breakdown of that. We have a guy that breaks down even finer than that, a guy who is the number one fight preparer in the world at this point in time. Mr. Dan Birmingham is on with us. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How about y'all?
Hey, Dan, good to hear from you.
Same here.
How's it going, Dan?
I'm hanging in there for an old man.
A fantastic year with both your prime fighters out of the gym there, Keith Thurman and Edner Cherry having a successful year. How are things going there?
They're doing great, but they're both on vacation right now. I'm working with a couple of young guys that I got coming up.
They deserve it.
Could you tell our listeners about Jordan Sanders?
Yeah, Jordan Sanders currently ranked number one in the nation at super heavyweight, and Mikhail Teal's in the top three. He's at 165. I think these guys have a bright future in the pro ranks.
And you say that Sanders is going to have his debut soon?
Yes, yeah. They're both actually turning pro very soon. Teal's going to fight locally, and Jordan's going to be on one of Al's shows soon.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys,
great kids.
Z, you got a question for
Dan? Hey, Dan. All of a sudden, there's a lot of welterweights on the scene. A lot of good ones.
Yeah, the
welterweight. That guy that's fighting Kell Brook, is he as good as they say he is?
I think Kell Brook's a very good fighter, very good fighter. I'd like Keith to face him eventually to prove he's the best, because I think Kell Brook.
No, I mean
right
the
now,
guy that the guy that Kell Brook is fighting is.
Errol Spence is a terrific, terrific young prospect.
That's what they said. Is he that good? I haven't seen him fight. I missed his last fight.
Oh, yeah. He's a good boxer, good puncher, a real tough kid. From what I hear, he trains hard. He's very diligent about his craft. And maybe there'll be a showdown someday between him and Keith. You never know.
Yeah, I think so, because if he beats the Englishman, then he's going to be asking for a title shot. He's going to be a hard guy to duck.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's making a big stink. Big stink right now.
Zeke, you have any questions for Dan?
No, actually, I just wanted to say, I want to kind of commend you on the performances of both of your fighters. I got to watch both fights, and you can see how the training took with both fighters, and especially with Edner, because Edner, it got to the point in that fight to where Edner made it a dogfight a bit. And then, when Omar began to make it a bit of a boxing match with his jab, Edner kind of indulged with his own jab. And it was fun to see, you know, Edner put another aspect to his game that you normally don't, you normally kind of, you didn't see before with Edner. And he was very, very effective with it, so, you know, to get a decision. So I have to commend you with that. And with Keith, Keith came out the first round and established, you know, blasted Danny, and it kind of established, to me it seemed like it was a welterweight punch, to where he kind of had Danny Leary for, you know, a bit of the fight. And Keith basically did what Keith does. He outboxed him, you know, kept Danny on, you know, aware of his power, and he won the fight. So, you know, I have to commend you on both fights.
Thank you. I have a theory with my fighters. I don't like them to let 5 seconds go by without at least a jab, because I believe that, you know, the jab dictates everything in boxing. If you lay back and you lay back and you got a guy that's using the jab, you're going to lose. So we go out there and we be very aggressive with the jab, and it sets up the right hand and the hook and the body work and everything else.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? This is Ty. How's it going?
Great, Ty. How about you?
Good. Everything is well, sir. One thing I wanted to ask you is, again, kudos to the work you've done with all your guys. I wanted to ask you what the difference is between training a younger guy, you know, like a guy like Keith, or a guy coming up in the gym, a guy who is still learning his craft at a pretty young age, as opposed to training a guy like Edner Cherry, who I think you've done wonderful work. But you take a guy like Edner Cherry, and he's been around a block for a while. So what happens when you get an older guy as opposed to a younger guy? You're trying to teach him things that he didn't know, or, you know, trying to maybe teach an old dog new tricks. How is that as opposed to training a younger guy?
Well, Edner is a hard worker and always stays in great shape. So that part of it's pretty easy with him. But it's mainly just dictating the pace with the jab and creating openings with the jab, and getting inside and working the body and learning how to tie up. You know, I tell my fighters that tying up is an art. And, you know, it's good to do that at least 2-3 times around. Tie up a guy. You know, it shows that you're in control of a fight. But for me, you know, going back to even the Winky days, the jab is the key, because Wink used to win big fights on just his jab. With the Trinidad fight, you know, he didn't really land a whole lot, even though he stayed in the pocket some time and punched, but the jab was the key. You know, and Trinidad just got tired of his neck being popped back all the time with that right jab. And then they became best friends. Yeah, Wink's actually been to Puerto Rico, and he's been up here to see Wink. I mean, they became good friends.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Dan, do you see either Edner or Keith fighting this year again?
Well, I'm hoping, especially Edner. I mean, Keith, you know, Keith should get something the end of the year from what we hear.
Great.
And he needs to get back into the ring, you know, by the end of the year sometime. You know, he needs to stay active, and we need a, you know, good 2-month training camp. So, yes, I do expect Al to put him in.
Do you have any idea of who he'd be fighting?
Not at this stage. I don't. I mean, there's a lot of up-and-comers like Errol Spence and guys like him. You know, they all want a shot at Keith. They all want a shot at the guy that's considered one of the best.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Right now, Keith is considered the number one welterweight by a lot of pundits. And I know, you know, it's been talked about him possibly eyeing the winner of the Brooks Spence fight. But, you know, how it is with those, you know, Keith's got 2 titles now, so I'm sure he's got those pesky mandatories he's got to get out the way, too. And I know Lamont Peterson's won. Sean Porter's just been elevated to another mandatory, supposedly. So I guess you guys got a lot of work in the negotiating room before you can get to the gym, huh?
Well, I mean, I let Al and Keith really, you know, they ask my opinion, but at the end of the day, we let the fighter make, you know, his own decisions. But, you know, it really doesn't matter to me. Bring them all on. It doesn't matter. When you're a champ, you fight anybody and everybody. So whoever comes to the surface, we'll take them on.
How about as far as Edner's concerned? Do you think he has a named opponent to come up or a title to come up?
Al says, you know, a couple of fights, and he's going to be back in for another belt. That should be coming up soon. I don't know the exact date. But, you know, one thing Al Haymon doesn't do is give up on his fighters. I mean, Edner won the fight. You know, everybody says Edner won that fight and should be the champ right now defending his belt, but it didn't work out that way with the judges.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're looking forward to Edner getting back in the ring.
You know, I had lunch the other day with a friend of yours, a fellow Hall of Famer, Bob Alexander, and he said, told me to make sure that I told you to say I was going to say hello to you.
Yes, and hello to Bob also.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yes,
yeah,
great.
And Bob used to play football for me. He and his son both played football for me at the Venice Vikings, and then Chris had tried out for the. You know, I still coach the Storm here in Tampa.
Oh, you're still coaching now?
Chris had tried out there, but. He got beat out by a kid from Palmetto, Joe Hills.
I see.
I don't understand why Joe's never in your gym, because he has more fights in arena football than anybody else.
Well, yeah, maybe he could really learn, huh?
Yeah.
And look out with his size and strength.
Sugar. Dan, with the guys that are coming up with Jordan,
yes.
Safe to say, when would you think that he would be in the ring? Would it be before the end of the year or towards the end of the year?
The end of May. From what I'm hearing, the end of May, he starts his pro career.
Okay, will that be in the Tampa area?
I'm not sure if we're going to have to travel or not. Al really doesn't put any local shows unless Keith's on the card, you know.
Right.
So it'd be great if Keith gets back and they get on the undercard with him. People are dying to see him fight locally.
Sure, sure. I understand that they reopened the a la carte pavilion again since they couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
And I guess Telemundo's been doing a lot of fights over there. Do you have any guys going over there to fight?
Who do you say is doing fights?
Telemundo.
Oh, Telemundo, yeah. I don't have any guys going there. No, not at this stage.
Chris, you have anything for Dan?
I'm just sitting here thinking. Keith has had some close calls the last couple of fights. I thought I'm going to be honest with you. I thought he wasn't as busy as he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
He's making fighters. He's superior to these guys, but then the decisions are coming out too close for me. I don't like that.
Well,
I don't think you're too happy with it either, are you, Dan?
Well,
what is your answer for that? Why the hell are these decisions that close?
It comes down to quality of opposition. I mean, Danny Garcia is a great fighter, great champion. I mean, that was a real close fight. You know, we did get the edge, but he's not fighting guys, average guys now. He's fighting great champions now, and I think every fight's going to be, you know, nip and tuck all the way.
I think he's a far superior fighter than Danny Garcia. He's
mm-hmm.
got the more punching power, more talent. And I thought he let him in. Hang in there too close. I'm just sorry to say that, but I think Keith. Now Danny Garcia got a hell of a chin. I have to admit that. I mean,
yes,
it's even
mm-hmm.
better than I thought.
Oh,
and he stood in there with Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Made it a closer fight than I wanted to see. To be honest with you.
Uh huh.
But these guys like Earl Spence, they're young and hungry. I mean. Damn, a lot of money in a game today. They're all hungry. They all want that shot.
Yeah, for sure. You just, you know, we just got to keep the fires burning. We got to keep them hungry.
Oh, Keith won bigger than he did, than the decision he got. That thing should not have been that close. he won that fight going away.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. I think the decision was closer.
How
did
he really feel about it?
I feel the same. I mean, I'm not the judges, but I thought that Keith dominated the fight a lot more than the judges wrote down on the scorecard.
Yeah, I thought the judges did a lousy damn job in that fight.
Yeah.
They made it close. It wasn't that close. Christ. He never staggered Keith. He never really put a lot of, you know, any hard punches on him. And, you know, I commend the kid for the chin he's got, but that fight wasn't that close. Judges scare me. It seems like they're always trying to steal a fight somehow. Somebody's always trying to steal a fight. I don't know. I really was angry at the damn judges that night. Wasn't that close. You almost got to knock a guy out every damn time to guarantee that you're going to win the fight. These judges, I don't know where the hell they're coming from. They're not. I mean, what the hell? It's like in the amateurs when my son was boxing. A good solid jab count is the same as a knockdown. That was a new thing up here.
Right.
I said, are you kidding me?
All over. Yeah. Yeah, it's just.
What are they basing their judgment on? Danny Garcia was not that close in that fight with Keith. I don't care what the hell anybody said. He was not that close.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I would be frustrated, you know, to have a draw some night and you won the fight going away. That's the hell.
Yeah, too bad. Too bad they couldn't have robotic scoring and not bring the human element into it.
There you go. Dan, let me ask you before we let you go. I know you're very busy. Could you give us your thoughts on the Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez fight tonight?
I like Canelo in that fight. I just think he's a little bit stronger. I think he's a little more experienced in the bigger fights, and I'm going to pick Canelo on that one.
Okay. Chris, who do you got?
How about
who
you
got
back?
Well, did you listen to what Teddy Atlas last night? Yeah,
no,
he gave the great analogy of the fight. He did not want to see Canelo come in too heavy, he said, because he is a faster fighter. And he said if he tries to bulk up, he'll never be the stronger fighter or the bigger fighter. So why doesn't he just come in just a little bit overweight? You know, don't come in at once, you know, too heavy. He said he's got the speed. Let him take advantage of that. Let him keep that speed. And he said that way I think he'll win. But if he doesn't do that and he tries to muscle Chavez and get real heavy, he says it gives Chavez a much better chance. And which is about the truth. It depends on what was the weigh-in weight. Did you hear?
No, I didn't hear the weight.
They both made 164.5. Both of them were 164.5 on the nose.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, Ty, what's your thought?
You know, it's funny. I always say I don't like to pick a fight until I see the weigh-in. Chavez made weight. He expects to be between 185 and 190 tonight. It's been revealed that Canelo typically weighs about 172, 173 every fight, Jim Lampley said, 172, 173. So Chavez will definitely be the bigger man. So for me, it eliminates one of the variables of this prediction. Is Chavez motivated? Yes. You still got to lean towards Canelo just based on professionalism and work ethic. However, I think we got a fight on our hands. And if Chavez puts it all together, he's very capable of beating Canelo Alvarez. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. Right now, I still slightly lean towards Canelo. That may change when I see a 200 damn near pound Chavez walking into the ring. So, but right now, yeah, you know, just knowing the game, Canelo lives the life. Chavez hasn't lived the life, and so you got to lean towards Canelo, but again, Chavez has spoken about the physical advantages he has in being able to really utilize his advantages. So I think we got a good fight on our hands, guys.
Have a great
I do
hour.
Too.
Great
I
hour.
Do too.
Z,
I think you hit it right on the nose.
Z, sure. You there?
Yeah, yeah. I think that it's going to be a decision by Canelo with controversy. I think it's going to come down to Canelo is going to win rounds, but ultimately Chavez is going to win the fight, meaning that point-wise, Canelo's going to land the cleaner shots. He's going to land the more telling blows. But Chavez is going to do stuff that often judges don't see, the boxing eye doesn't see that happens in the ring. And that's that getting hit in the arm, getting hit in the elbow, getting hit on the shoulder, that takes a lot out of him. That may hurt more than the body shot. That may hurt more than the face shot. So, I mean, Canelo's going
to If you don't believe, act Andre Berto. But what happened with he and Sean Porter? Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
We have one other person that can talk about that one. We're joined now by Frankie the Freight Train Philippone.
Frankie.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
How's
good.
It going?
All right, you heard the analogy. Let's hear what your thought is. You're the guy that's in the ring.
With Canelo and Chavez?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be Canelo. I'm going to say, some people say it's going to go to a decision. I'm going to say he's going to get him out of there in five.
Wow.
I don't know. Chavez is, just like you said, I think it was said best. It depends on which one shows up, which Chavez shows up. So,
go ahead, Frank.
It's an interesting fight. So I don't normally buy pay-per-view fights unless it's really enjoyable, but I think I might buy it anyway.
We know this morning Chavez Jr. said that this may be his last opportunity, and he's going to take every advantage of it. So
right.
I think I'm still going to go with Canelo.
Yeah, I think now, you know, I think if you talk about Canelo versus Triple G, I'm going to have to go with Triple G. So, I don't, you know,
right.
But, that's way down the road here.
Sure.
Depends on this fight.
Coming up next week.
Yes. Yes, indeed. it'll
tell
be
our listeners
in,
again. I know it's up in Bucks
in
County,
Bristol.
But tell our listeners again where it is.
Yeah, so it's going to be at Grundy Arena, Bristol, Pennsylvania. I think it's Beaver Street, 475 Beaver Street, Bristol. It's a big fight between me and Derek Webster. So, I'm planning on going up there and taking care of business. There's three titles on the line. We're fighting for the WBF's international super middleweight title. He's putting up his USBO, and I'm putting up one of my belts, which is the USBU. So it's winner take all, you know. I plan on, you know, like they said, Derek Webster's name is take it to the bank, but I think I plan on making a withdrawal on Saturday night.
There you go.
So
I
think
I know you met Frankie during the summer. When we came over to see you. Do you have any thoughts on a fight like this?
Are you speaking to me, Dan?
Yeah, Dan. He's 6'3", Dan. So, and I'm 5'9" on a good day. So,
well, you got to get inside and work the body.
He's 6'3", Frankie.
That's what they said. Now listen, you know, when I
what weight is this at? This is at your weight, right? You're not moving way up again, are you?
Oh no, it's at 168.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
It's
beam pole, you man.
Yeah,
I'm fighting the beam pole.
Exactly. So that's exactly right, Mr. Birmingham. That's exactly what my strategy is. But I'm gonna put a little twist on it too. I'm gonna kind of punch the crap out of him too. So I think he's not going to be prepared for that either. So I think, we put a lot of work in the gym the last 3 weeks, 14 rounds every time we step in that ring with southpaws, tall guys, short guys, you know, big guys. You know, I think my last sparring session was with a cruiserweight at 190. So, and I know Derek Webster ain't going to hit me as hard as that guy hit me. So
you're ready.
So I'm ready. I'm already on weight, so I'm actually at 167 right now. The weight's at 168 for the championship. So You know, we've had a really good camp for the last 5-6 weeks, so we're prepared. I mean, I was already kind of preparing because we were supposed to make a fight with Peter Manfredo for June, and when that's kind of pushed back a little bit, we've just kind of stayed in shape.
Yeah, we know Manfredo.
Yeah, so I really want to punch him in his face too. So we'll see what happens.
Hey.
Okay. Dan, you got any idea of any strategies for you can pass along to Frankie on Manfredo?
I think just be in great condition. Be in great condition,
right.
Manfredo usually comes in great shape. You know, he's a tough kid. I'd work on your boxing skills. You know, try to keep him outside with that jab and them straight punches and a lot of movement. You won't have any problems.
Right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I think what's interesting, too, about this fight with Webster is that we're both southpaws, so it's going to be an interesting dynamic for the first couple rounds. But you're right, I'm going to make it an ugly fight for him. It's going to be an all-out war. So there's only two – only with two ways – look, there's only two ways I'm going to leave that ring. One, on a stretcher because he's going to have to kill me. Or two, I'm walking out with some belts around my waist.
You're going to have the belts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I plan on it. Like I said, we've had a great camp, and you know the body work is what you know we've worked on. We worked tirelessly on guys that are 6'3" with the body punch pad on and just slipping punches, slipping jabs to really prepare. So it's like I said, it's going to be a great fight.
Wish you all the best.
Great.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Well, Dan, I know you're very busy, and I appreciate all the time you always give us, and I certainly appreciate the time you give me when I get a chance to get up to the gym and see the guys. And, you know, the mic is always open to you. Anytime your guys have a fight, let us know. We'll plan on telling everybody about it for 3 weeks and then get them and hopefully get some people in the ring for you.
I appreciate
your time, and again, appreciate your friendship. So
sure. See you next time.
Okay.
You guys take care.
Thanks, bud.
Take care. So long.
Frankie,
yes, sir.
The guys were wondering. I wanted to ask you, did you get any answer from McNesbitt?
I did not, actually. Okay. I sent an email to I think him and the vice president. The vice president name escapes me, but yeah, I didn't get a response from them. I know the promoters up there are going to send stuff to the Trenton PD and the Buck County area, and then I'm going to reach out to some people in South Philadelphia. So
I'll get a hold of them as of tomorrow.
Yeah. So
they have a hot email.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's going to be a great event. I have about 30 people coming to the event. So I mean, I'm going to be severely outnumbered as far as fans go. But I think just like in Sarasota, I'll win some hearts, early on. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, we are really focused. We're laser focused. You know, this has been. I think it's kind of a. They originally offered me this fight, and then I turned it down, and then they came back with some different incentives. unfortunately, it was supposed to be a world title fight. It was supposed to be for the world belt, not the international. But we had some issues with the commission not approving it for 12. So not a big deal. We'll come back and get that. We'll push it even harder that and we'll make it a big fight for the next time.
Sure. Do you guys have any questions for Frankie?
Frankie, have you been out of Southpaw sparring? Because that's usually a little harder to come by, but I guess so is a 6'3" guy your size too. So.
Yeah, we have a couple guys that are on that height range that can switch to a southpaw. But what I focused on was getting the guys that are true natural southpaws, but they were around the same size as me, just to get the rounds in. Like I said, we did 14 rounds the last three weeks every time we sparred. So You know, like I said, the height really doesn't bother me as much. I think my game plan is pretty solid. You know, I think I'm going to have some good counter punches right to the body. I think that's going to hurt him early. And, you know, I don't think he's, even though he's had some good fights, I don't think he's ready for what I'm bringing to the table. I mean, you know, so.
Hey, Chris, you got any questions?
I'm just sitting here thinking, Frankie, it's hard to, you know, it's difficult to fight a guy 6'3". And you got to put pressure on him. You have to apply pressure, which I'm sure you're going to do just by what you're saying. So you've got all the right ideas, and I think you're going to succeed. The guy, most of these guys, 6'3", they're giving away they're taller, but they're giving away strength.
Yeah,
most of them aren't strong inside, and they don't hold you off well. A lot of the 6'3" guys can't take it to the body. They're like Tommy Hearns. You hit him in the ribs and he dies. You know? So
yeah.
I hope this guy is one of those guys. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you.
I've watched a couple of his fights, and you know, and I can tell you this: it's been he has a hard time fighting backwards. A couple of times he's let guys get him against the ropes.
He's 6'3" and he has a hard time fighting backwards.
There's guys that have been able to walk him down. He's got some good lateral movement. You know, so he has some good boxing ability, but he does go straight back a fair amount. So I think, you know, honestly, I think the thing that's really interesting to me is, you know, I've kind of perfected a punch right to the solar plex every time, you know, as a counter punch to a jab. And I think every time he throws a punch, I'm going to counter it, and I think that's going to break him down. I'm hoping, like I said, when I make a withdrawal, you know, I'm making a withdrawal with these belts, but I think I'm going to try to leave with his heart, too.
There it is.
So, I mean, I think, like I said, I think there's some things in the camp that we've heard early on that he's, you know, he's not taking it as serious as he should. You know, but, you know, I know he's going to come in shape. It's hard not to when you come into a fight and your life is on the line. But my goal and my what I live by is, you know, talent, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So
that's right.
You know, I've been putting in 8 to 10 rounds of, or 8 to 10 miles of running, every 2 days. So, you know, so now this is the rest phase. I'm still doing some light cardio to keep my stuff good, but I don't want to wear out my legs too soon. So, but I had a nutritionist. I brought a nutritionist on for this fight as well as a high intensity personal trainer. We've done some technical work with testing our cardio and our endurance at one of the local universities. So, you know, we're really trying to step up our game here. And the mentality's right, the team is right, and you know, I think with the Jesse Hart, once I beat Derek Webster, he'll never fight me. So it's totally fine. So
yeah, we had a guy on last week who said that Jesse will never fight you because he's afraid to lose to you. That he'll fight opponents of lesser quality.
Right. Yeah. I've said it all along. You know, he's number one with the WBO, and he loses to me. They lose a whole top rank loses a whole bunch of money. So you run into the dirty part of the business of politics. And the sport game, you know, and I think, you know, we're talking about it last week, you know, that people need to just – fighters just need to fight whoever. They just need to fight the fight. That's their best. That's what's good for the sport. Not, you know, I'm coming into his hometown. My family lives in South Philadelphia, so I have plenty of family there that's coming to the fight. But, you know, when you're really taking – going in somebody's hometown – I mean, you gotta go in there and you gotta beat them up. I think you guys are right when you're talking about judging and scoring. I'm preparing for a knockout for him, that way I know I'm going to take the victory. So I'm going to say 8 rounds. I'm going to get him out of there.
That's great. Sounds great. Got the right amount of confidence. That's good.
Yeah. As a police officer in me too, you know, I'm always running towards the danger. So, I'm coming for it. So.
Against a taller guy, it's a good idea sometimes to counterpunch, just because they don't get their arms back in time.
Right.
They tend to keep those long arms out, and they don't come back responsibly,
right,
or they don't come
right
back at all. Try to use their feet while trying to steer you with their arm.
It's
not a bad idea to, guy, if he moves straight back as a tall guy, you might want to take that extra step going in a little long.
Sure.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the left hand, when he throws out his jab and his left hand comes back, I think I'm going to throw it right to the body, try to catch the liver. I think obviously straight punches, I mean, if I can get him early and hit him with a good shot. I mean, there's a lot of people that I've talked to said that, you know, he'll never let me get a clean shot in there. But I'm not going to fight his fight, so I'm going to fight my fight.
Yeah.
And, he's a good guy. He's been very personable. I'm sure we're going to have a good friendship afterwards, whether win, lose, or draw. I'm just hoping and praying that if it does come to a decision, that the judges make the right calls. I hate to lose a fight on bad scoring or bad judging. I have all the confidence in the Pennsylvania Athletic Commission. I know Greg Serb runs a pretty tight ship there. So at least to the fighters' perspective, because he's on top of the fighters that are fighting in his state. So I'm hoping he does the same for his guys. But human error. You know, I get it. We all make mistakes. So, I'll never be mad at a referee or a judge to a certain extent. But we're talking about everything I got on the line. You know, this is people's health and safety. You should have some reward for the risk that you take. So, I think, like I said, it's going to be a great fight. I mean, I'm already on weight. I'm actually underweight. And so I'll be able to eat and drink at the weigh-in. I might as a mental game, I might even just get on the scale with a drink in my hand, drink it as I'm weighing in. And while he's all, sucking wind and drying out, like most fighters are dehydrating themselves to make weight, I'm gonna be in there, smacking on a protein bar and
I look on YouTube and read that Frankie Philippone was literally exactly 16 ounces overweight, and he tosses the drink to the side.
I'm planning on giving up this boxing game and opening up my gym probably next year.
Frankie.
Yeah, I think by December 2018, if I keep having the politics and we keep playing games with people not wanting to fight me because they want to protect their record, and then the hard work and the training, I can make a bigger impact in the community by saving the kids' lives in the gym, and then protecting them from those weary lions that are out in the game. So. Like I said, I'm going to give myself a hard two years, roughly a year and a half of solid work. Hopefully we'll win. We plan on winning Saturday the 13th, and then coming back and maybe fighting July 15th back home for the IBO Intercontinental belt. And then, hopefully that will open up some more doors. So as long as I keep myself relevant in the ranking and keep myself active in the fighting, at some point these guys won't be able to duck me. They'll have to fight me because the rankings will say so. Even though the IBF didn't hold me true to their ranking system, and they still allowed Jesse Hart to defend his title on the non-mandatory challenger, you know, past his due date. I get it. It's an exception to the rules. But, you know, at some point, you know, they're going to have to fight me. So that's my goal, is to get into the rankings with the WBO. Hopefully when Hart and Ramirez fight, Hart wins, and then I'll fight Hart for the belt. So
good.
I'll put myself in a position for a WBO world title.
Sounds great. Well, guys, we're up against our time limit here. Frankie, I wish you all the best in the world. I'll be talking
to you
next time.
Yes, sir. Thank
you, guys. You know, have a safe trip up to Philadelphia, and as always, be safe on the street, my brother.
Oh yeah. I'll be up there Thursday for the press conference, so I'll keep you guys posted in the loop.
Well, the guys may Ty and Zito may talk to you after hours and see if you guys can meet up. You, Chris, and the guys, because they live up there.
Yeah, give them my number, Frank, and let me know what I can do.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Thank
Hello
you.
Hello, the family, of course. We appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you. Okay. All right, bye. All right, guys.
All right.
See you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, bye.
All right, Frank. I'll see you next week.
Okay, Chris. Take care.
Hey, who's having that show tonight? Is it on
pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Got,
$70.
Batista is on the undercard.
$64.99. Oh, Lemieux's on the undercard too, Dr. Chris.
Yeah.
Who?
Lemieux.
Oh, really?
Man, Lucas Matisse.
Man, he can punch. Holy Christ. He came in the ring at 177 last fight. Like the kid tore that guy's head off. He could hit. You know? I think he wants Triple G again. It's going to be a hell of a fight.
He does. He's been asking for it.
He'll come in. He knows he comes in at 177, 178. He's got a hell of a chance. You know? We'll see. All right, guys. See you next week. All right.
Take care, Dr. Chris.
Take care. All right.
Z, you want to lead us out?
I sure do. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Dan Birmingham. I definitely want to thank Frankie Philippone, Dr. Chris. I want to thank you guys at Fighting Words. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Hey, Ty, give us an update, a fast update on the medical condition of the guy that taught you all about the boxing.
Oh, he had a procedure today. Everything went well. They believe that they fixed the issue, and so he's recovering now. And I should be talking to him a little later on tonight. So things are going well. One moment at a time is what I like to say. So
baby steps. You know, when Sharon was in the hospital, it was that was our theme, to get her through it in baby steps. And
yes, sir.
She's back at fighting rate. So okay, Ty, you want to lead us? You want to?
Hey, it was great being on with you guys. I miss having the opportunity to talk to you. Great talking to Frankie Philippone and Dan Birmingham as usual. Butch, you, Zito, Dr. Chris, love you guys. Bob is our co-pilot. See you all next week.
I want to thank everybody for listening. It's been a great great show, great host, great, really good, high-class guest, and we appreciate their time each and every week. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please let them know that you know they're there. A simple handshake, a wink, a smile, anything will really make their day. The best thing you can say is, be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwith, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longo Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, the Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Sarrow, Philadelphia Highway Patrol,
Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier. Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department. Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department. Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department. Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department. Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent. Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth. Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden. Euless, Texas Patrol Officer Dan Heffer. Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff. Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department. Special Investigator Benny Galaccia, Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And our latest addition, Corporal Stephen Ballard, Delaware State Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time you'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, and the rains fall slightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, and God bless. Please stay safe.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilama, sona shene vorat fet, akuig again ma'ilama.
Yeah.
Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 is responding to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.